Well, the first thing I want to do is sing happy birthday with you. We have three Good Shepherd birthdays this weekend. Carlotta Eaton, Maria Muruck, and Myrna Forche. I think all three will probably be watching online. So we want your voice to resound and bounce out through the internet to them. I realize I need to give you a program note. How do you sing all three names? When we get to the third line, it's going to be, happy birthday, Carlotta, Maria, and Myrna. Right? You got that? And I'm going to step away from the mic so they don't just hear me, they hear you. But let's sing together. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Carlotta, Maria, and Myrna. Happy birthday to you. Every one of you should be in the choir. That was great. That was great. Well, this morning, choir starts August 17th. See Eric if you are interested. We can add chairs until they're all used up. Today we're going to talk about why we sing in worship. This summer we've been looking at each one of the components, not in order, but each one of the kind of building blocks of our worship service and talking about why we do each one of those. And we're looking to Scripture for the answer to why do we do these different things, passing the peace and confessing our sin and benediction, a call to worship, all those sorts of things. So as you know, one of the things we do a lot of in the service is sing and make music. So we want to ask the question, you can go back one still. We want to answer why we sing together. If you think about why we sing when we're not in worship, there's a whole host of reasons. One great example, right, is singing happy birthday to someone. And the purpose is just to celebrate them. Say, we're glad you're alive and you've had another orbit around the sun. And it's, you know, you just join in. I've even been in restaurants when the servers are singing to somebody at another table who I don't even know. And people in the restaurant just sing along, right? It's one of those things that we kind of spontaneously join into. There are other things. Now, this is going to be a risk. I don't know if this is just an Austell family thing, and we're a little bit different, or how you respond. But if I sing to you this little phrase, I want to see what you do in response. We are farmers. I was hoping it was going to go. I mean, how crazy is that, right? That commercials just get lodged in our head, and you know, even if some stranger sang that passing you on the street, even if you didn't do it out loud, it would roll through your head, right? It just, you want to join in. So sometimes we use music to celebrate. Sometimes it's to subtly or not so subtly convey a message. That's what ad agencies are all about. They want you to remember the name of that insurance company and sing that crazy little jingle along with it. You may remember, I used to work in that business. We did that all day long. That was fun. Sometimes, maybe you didn't know that, I can tell you stories about that later. You know, we sing at ball games, we've kind of moved the national anthem to have a soloist, but a lot of times when you get to that high note, the crowd will kind of sing along. There is something in us that likes to join music to what's going on around us, and it taps into our emotions. And even if you're not someone that thinks of yourself as a singer, right, there's still things that you probably join into. My guess is almost all of you just sang happy birthday, right? Because it's not a choir performance. You don't feel like you're on the spot. Everyone's singing. And you know what? All of you, it sounded great, right? There is a function to singing that's not just the art of singing, but it's emoting who we are, and it's connecting for a whole host of reasons, celebration, education, just participation. All of those are reasons that we make music. And what I want to do today is look at the biblical teaching on why we sing in worship. And we're going to see some overlap with those same reasons that we encounter music every day. I also meant to add this. I mean, somebody has got to have done a doctoral thesis on this. It is mind-boggling to me how music helps us memorize things. And if you ever need proof of that, just find a teenager. It doesn't really matter what their favorite style of music is, but they can rattle off an encyclopedia worth of lyrics to you that are attached to the songs that they listen to. And even if you're no longer a teenager, you probably could do that when you were, and you may still, 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later, you may still know all the lyrics to those songs you heard when you're a teenager, right? There's something about music that binds words to us deeply, and that's also part of the function of it in our worship. Well, I'm going to begin with Psalm 96 that Christy read for you at the beginning and just remind you of one of the phrases in there. It was, sing to the Lord, all the earth. And I know it's tiny up there, but you can look back in your bulletin at the call to worship if you want to. The primary reason that Scripture says we are to sing in our worship of the Lord, there's two. And it does this by example in the songs in the Bible and also by teaching it. And the two things are to declare God's greatness, who God is, and to celebrate and state and sing out, this is who God is and what God's like. God is holy, God is good, God is powerful, God is wise, God is compassionate. All those traits that Scripture says are true about God, that's what makes up the first big piece of our praise to God. Praise can be with words. It's often with music, and music is joined with it. So that first reason is for who God is, what God's like. The second big reason is for what God has done. And so you'll read all these psalms that God has delivered us, God has forgiven. So this Psalm 96 has some examples of that. It says, sing to the Lord a new song, proclaim good tidings of his salvation. What has God done? He has saved us. Right? Tell of his glory. God is glorious. That's who he is among the nations. His wonderful deeds. That's what God has done. Great is the Lord. That's what God is like. The Psalms just keep rehearsing that, sometimes in kind of generic, general forms, like God is great. Sometimes it'll go into great detail about what he has done. You know, when he parted the waters and the people walked through, when he defeated the armies of the Egyptians, and it'll just list all these things that God has done for his people. But in a nutshell, praise and music, musical praise, musical worship, is declaring who God is and what God has done. I want to look with you at Isaiah 12. That was our first scripture reading. So if you can't see it on the screen, it's in your bulletin. This also gives some examples of praise, and this was likely sung as well. I'm just going to read a few verses out of here. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, though you are angry with me, probably because of sin or disobedience or something like that. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. It's describing God's mercy, God's compassion, God's forgiveness, God's grace, what God has done and what God is like. Behold, verse 2, God is my salvation, my strength, and my song. What God is like, what God has done. Verse 4, make known God's deeds among the people. Make them remember his name is exalted. Again, what God has done, and make it known. The bottom line, God is worthy of our praise. Verse 5, praise the Lord in song. So there it is. It's not just words. I mean, the psalm says, do it in song. Do it musically. For he has done excellent things, what God has done. And then the last verse, 6, great in your midst is the Holy One. God is great and God is holy. It's what God is like. So just back and forth throughout the songbook of the Bible, that psalms, these examples of how we are to make music, how we are to worship, how we are to praise, who God is and what God has done. God is worthy. It's parallel to me that God is worthy, and encountering God brings forth that kind of response. It reminds me of what happens for me when I go to the mountains or go to the beach and I see, you know, a beautiful demonstration or example of God's creation in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and maybe the sun rising over the mountains. Or I like to go out before anybody's out on the beach and watch the sunrise over the ocean, and it just brings about this wow response in me, right? And that's what God should bring out of us, because God is so worthy, who God is and what he's done. It should elicit in us that kind of wow. Whoa, I think I showed here a couple years ago the California guy who was overcome by the triple rainbow, and he was having that, whoa, you know, just kind of coming undone at the majesty. If the more clearly we can see and encounter God, that's what comes out of us. And so if you find yourself thinking, well, those words make sense, but I don't know that I've had that experience, I would encourage two things. One is get to know God better, right? You never say wow at the mountain expanse if you never go to the mountains. So how do you come to know God and what God is like and what God has done? It's in the Bible, right? It's not just a history book or a fact book. It is God's revelation, God showing himself to us. It tells us what God is like. It tells story after story of what God has done in people's lives. And so it brings to the forefront God's worthiness so that we can respond to it. Creation itself is also a great way to get in touch with what God has done because he made it all, right? If you have that wow response to the sun setting over the mountain range, then just recognize God made that, right? God's behind that. So that's one thing, get to know God better, and that will enhance your worship because you come to know more and more God's worthiness, who he is and what he's done. But a second way, and we're going to go to Ephesians 5, is that God has put his Holy Spirit in us, in all who believe. God has filled us with his Holy Spirit, and one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, there's several, they are to comfort us, to convict us of sin, to lead us to the Lord, but one is to bring about praise and worship in us. So Ephesians says this, and this is in a chapter that talks about the behavior of Christians, both what we're not supposed to do and what we are supposed to do. It comes to verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. In parentheses, you already are full of the Spirit. This is what that looks like. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That is, sing, make music. Oh, that's what it says next. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does in us, and I couldn't find a picture of an actual overflowing cup. I guess that's hard to capture with a still photo. But God has poured his Spirit into those who believe, and the image that this is cultivating is that the Spirit is to overflow out of our mouth, out of our actions, out of our heart. And the Spirit is God, right? The Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Spirit is bearing witness in us all the time of who God is and what God has done. So in addition to reading Scripture to come to know God better, it's opening ourselves, you know, tuning the dial so we can hear what it is the Spirit is saying in us. Sometimes, Scripture says, that Spirit whispers. But if you believe in Jesus Christ and follow him, the Spirit is there. We can sometimes tune out the Spirit and fill our heads and our minds with much louder voices. But the Spirit is always bearing witness to who God is and what God has done. So in Ephesians, it says recognize that Spirit is testifying to God in you and overflowing, and give voice to that. Give action to that as the Spirit leads you. And I love particularly the phrase, making melody with your heart. Ultimately, it's not about how well you can sing or even if you sing. It's something that comes out of your deepest part. Right? If you pass that person in the store and you hear them do the little farmer's thing, you may not out loud look at them and say, bum, ba, 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 but somewhere in you, like it, you know, you hear it, you respond. 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times more effective and meaningful than that, the Spirit is testifying in you, giving voice to who God is and what God has done. And making melody with your heart is joining your spirit to the Holy Spirit to praise, to give thanks, to celebrate God. Sometimes it comes out of your mouth in what you say or sing. Hopefully often, and this is the point in Ephesians, it comes out with your actions, your hands, how you treat your neighbor, your enemy, those around you. But the overall picture there is let the Spirit overflow out of your life. That itself is praise to God. So I have a couple of closing thoughts, and I want to recognize that I like to sing. I'm musical. Yeah, can you go to the next one for me, Clay? But what if you think you can't sing? And you're stronger than that. You're like, Robert, it's more than think. I know I can't sing. I had a music professor in college address that with the class. There's probably some exception to this, but she said, if you can speak and it doesn't sound like a robot, a monotone, then you have the ability to hear and discern pitch, right? Unless you talk like this all the time and sing like this, your body is capable of hearing pitches. We do it all the time when we talk to people, and that's why we can hear if someone is excited or sad or angry or shy. So my first point to you, I get it, not everyone likes to sing, and a lot of people are insecure about the way they sound, but the two things I want to say to you are, one, you can improve. You know, just like if you can walk a mile in 20 minutes, you can work on it and get to the point where you can walk a mile in 16 minutes. You may not ever become an Olympic athlete, right? You may not be the person that sings solos in the choir, but everyone can improve because it's just muscles and your body, right? You can work on that. Secondly, is what I just read from Ephesians, is in this setting, in worship, in the singing, in the music we make, God is not up there with a scorecard saying, oh, this person, they're like a 2 out of 10 on their praising, their singing. What God is looking at is what's coming out of our heart, right? So whether your instrument is particularly beautiful or not, God is receiving our praise, whether that's singing out loud or humming to yourself or stomping your foot or clapping. I mean, that's why clapping is an act of praise, right? It's participating in the worship that's going on. That's what God desires, is praise, making melody in our heart. And that may look like all sorts of things. I offer that to encourage you to join in. It's about the participation more than, I mean, it's not, you're not being graded at all. We sing in worship because God is worthy, and God invites our participation. We sang happy birthday to three very wonderful and dear people, and I want them to receive that fully. But I will observe that you sang happy birthday with all your heart. Nobody was holding back or being like, I don't think I can sing, I'm just not going to participate, or happy birthday. I mean, everybody was, you were singing, man. If we can do that in that setting, I think, why can't we do that all the time? Right? That's we're singing for the same reasons, to celebrate God, to express our gratitude because we know God and we're in relationship with God. We're telling the stories of God in our music. I know we have hang-ups about all kinds of things, but what Scripture says to us is, why do we sing? We sing because God is worth it. And why should we sing? Because God is worth it. Don't hold back. It's not about us. It's all about what we offer to God. So if that helps you, we have a couple more songs to sing in this service. Imagine, because it's true, that the audience is not us up here hearing you. It's not the person next to you, but you're singing, you know, in a very real sense. Your praises are singing happy birthday to God. It's celebrating God for who he is. In a minute, we're going to sing Holy, 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 declaring who God is, what he's like. He's holy, he's triune. And we're going to end the service singing songs about how worthy is Jesus Christ the Lamb, how worthy is God the Father. And I invite you to sing, making melody from your heart. Amen.